You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, everybody, to Locked On Lakers. I am your host, Harrison Fagan. The reason I am doing this intro again today is because Anthony has once again decided to shirk his responsibilities and leave me in charge of the show. And that's fine, because the Lakers are now, as far as I can remember, undefeated on days when I solo host the show without Anthony. Don't look that up. I think it's accurate. And so, as always, you can find the show on Panoply, Megaphone, TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, iTunes. You can find us on Spotify now. Pretty much anywhere you get your podcast, you can find Locked On Lakers. So on today's show, we are going to talk about the Lakers' upset win in Oklahoma City. They were blown out by the Thunder the last two times, but that legendary OKC nightlife finally got to the Thunder today and just took out, clearly, like, is responsible for them losing, because we always do that when a team like loses to LA in LA. So we'll just do the same thing for Oklahoma City. And then after that, we are going to talk about Paul George's latest comments on free agency and the Lakers and whether or not he would like that to work out or whether or not he wants to stay with the Thunder. He talked a little bit to Rachel Nichols about that. We're going to throw to that audio. But first, I am going to introduce my sports desk son, Jared Eprom, has decided to, after rave iTunes reviews, rejoin us on the Locked On Lakers podcast. I think only one of those reviews of which you actually left.
Yeah, I did not.
You're going to fess up to being an unethical journalist on the
air. That's not unethical. People have burner accounts.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, hey, all you did was say that you were really good, which is true. So you just didn't put your name next
to it. I may or may not have instructed a few of my close friends to also leave reviews, but there's no way of actually proving that.
No, yeah, exactly. We can't. I'm not going to trace the IP addresses. So, you know, like, Jared has 3 5-star reviews and 1 trashing Bryant. I know that one was legit, because that's a clearly a long-time listener. I appreciate you for that. Jared, you did not watch the game today, but you keep up with the whole league. You've been watching the Lakers lately. The Lakers beat the Thunder 108-104. I watched the game. Josh Hart back in the starting lineup for the second game in a row. The Lakers are undefeated since they moved him in for Tyler Ennis. I think as much for the fact that Tyler Ennis is a minus NBA player and Josh Hart is a plus one, but he's really helped with how he's pushed the pace in transition. He's been really good. And after that win, because Twitter is a very reactionary place and people are like, okay, the Lakers just beat the Thunder, best young core in basketball.
Best team in basketball.
Yeah, maybe best team in basketball. I only saw best young core.
Yeah.
Maybe you're willing to say best team. I don't know.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. So, no, I mean, where would you have them? They're playing really well lately. Lonzo hasn't been a part of it, obviously, and it hasn't been all the young guys. Brooke Lopez was really good today. But, like, it's been a lot of their young guys. Randall, Ingram all contributed. Hart was, again, really good. Kuzma, not his best game today, but he's been really good this season. Like, where would you have the Lakers, as like a semi-unbiased observer, where would you have the Lakers' young core as far as, like, best young cores in basketball?
I mean, you'd have to say they're probably top three. It depends on how you classify it. Like, I still think Philly, like, they have 2 proven stars and could be superstars in Embiid and Simmons. And then they still have, if Fultz can get the demons out of his body, you don't know what he's going to be. And then Saric is still a great young player. So I'd still have them number one. And then the way I look at it, Towns and Wiggins and Sir are really young, and Towns has, like, shown potential to be the best big man in basketball. Like, in the, like we said the last time I was on, in the GM survey, everyone took him to be, like, a player under 25 as their center stone for their franchise. And that's not a unfair assessment. And then Wiggins is also really good. And then whatever you think of, a lot of people on Twitter have been like, Tyus Jones should be playing over Jeff Teague, which I don't really get. Maybe I don't watch Tyus Jones that much, but
He was really good. I watched him a lot in summer league. He was really good out there.
Yeah,
speak to as far as NBA.
Yeah, like, you're not studying the Timberwolves on League Pass, but I mean, they're pretty good. And then The only other team that...
And, like, I just really quickly, I wanted to say about Towns, like, people might say, like, that's cheating or whatever. Like, they're not a young core. But Towns is really young. He's in what? It's, like, his third year, fourth year?
Yeah, third
or fourth. Third year, I think. And
he was the same draft as Okafor, and that was after...
Okafor and Russell. Yeah, so that was... That's 3 years ago. 15, because Russell spent 2 years with the Lakers, is now in Brooklyn. So he's still a very young player, and they should definitely be considered a young core. And I think I agree with you, just because Towns is so transcendent already.
Exactly. And then the other team that I would say are probably fighting with the Lakers for the third spot is...
If you say Celtics, I'm going to kick
you
out
right now.
I'm not going to say
Boston. Denver, because they have Jokic, they have Jamal Murray, who's been kind of lighting other teams on fire for the last like five games. And then Gary Harris is still young. So I think that's good. I think the problem...
I would still take the Lakers over them. I think I'm a little biased because I watch the Lakers a lot more. And I also very, very much believe in Lonzo Ball.
I don't think... That's fine. And I think the problem is that, like, we kind of know who everyone else is. And right now, like, two of their guys are young or first-year players. One's not even playing right now. And they just have such a large number of young players. It's like, well, if you're taking, like, the sheer volume... You could probably say it's more because you just have more options.
There are so many guys that you look at and you say, yeah, he's going to at the very least be a contributor.
Yeah, it's like the LeVar Ball theory. He's like, oh, I got one son to the league. If LiAngelo doesn't go, I have LaMelo.
Yep.
I still have another chance. It's like, so you have a bunch
and
of
yeah,
chances.
Yeah, I mean, hey, we got to factor in LiAngelo and LaMelo as part of the Lakers' young core. Because, you know, LeVar hasn't been wrong about getting sons onto the Lakers yet. So.
Kuzma probably talks to Melo more than his teammates, but
that's very possible.
That's besides the point. But yeah, I think it's just the sheer number of... And they just get so much media spotlight because they're the Lakers, which is fine. Like, I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but they're just covered more and they're looked into more depth. And like,
but I, that also that earlier this year that was a bad thing because
yeah,
their
bad
flaws
thing.
Were very much being exposed.
And, but that was expected. And yeah. People just don't think rationally on Twitter.
Yeah, they're like, oh, those are big names, but they aren't playing well. They
yeah,
suck.
Wait, Lonzo Ball was the number two pick. Why isn't he as good as
LeBron?
Yeah, whoever you want to say. The one thing I do want to say, though, about Brook Lopez playing good, what was that thing about, like, him crying on the bench the other day? Did you see that?
So, he didn't... I don't think he was crying. I think, like, he covered his head in a towel. He had only played, like, I think 9 minutes against Orlando. And actually, I do want to give Lopez credit, because that was a really bad game for him. That was a really bad game for the whole team. Clearly upset that he didn't get to go to Disney World. And but he came back, and he played really well in Brooklyn, got, like, a little bit of a revenge game going there. And then he was really good against Oklahoma City today.
Yeah.
And, like, that's how professionals respond. And that's one of the reasons why I think like the Lakers as a young team are better off having a guy like that around. And he has taken, I think, somewhat undeserved flack this year. I've said this on a couple podcasts, but I think like he has been probably the most undervalued Laker.
Yeah, I think that's definitely fair. I'm just looking at a couple box scores. His 3-point attempts are up a lot. He took 9 today, hit 4, and then he took 5 against the Nets and hit 2, I think, or 3. But
yeah,
I mean, I think they're just using him wrong in the beginning, and then everyone pays attention to the league for the first like couple games. Like, oh, Brook Lopez
and that
isn't
sets the narrative.
Yeah, and that sets the narrative, and then it takes 40 plus games of someone actually doing what they have been doing the entire season for people to change their mind. But regardless, yeah, I'd still take Philly. I'd still take.
So you have Philly and Minnesota ahead of them, and then the rest of
for
the league,
sure, and then
like,
the rest you can throw
you
it
can,
up.
Like argue it. Yeah, I think I'm with you on those two being ahead of them. I'm trying to think if there's anyone else that like maybe I'd put ahead of them, but I don't think so. And I think part of it is just like my belief in Lonzo Ball and how transcendent.
Yeah,
because
there are still a lot of things we don't know yet.
Yeah.
So which is the problem? Like I'm sure if all the players were as like into the league as the Timberwolves players are, like 3 years in. Or,
yeah, things look a little different when Ingram's in his third year, Lonzo's in his second year, and like so we have to kind of wait and see for that.
Yeah, because Andrew Wiggins, even for his first 2 years in the league, like he was still good. Like he won Rookie of the Year, obviously, and he still played good in his second year. But like it wasn't until his third year where like for the first, I want to say 20 games of the season, he was shooting like 45% from three. Obviously, that tailed off because he's not a 45% three-point shooter, but like there are obvious improvements to his game, and he's learning how to use his left hand, he's learning how to dribble. Now he's in his fourth year, and he still looks good. So
yeah, and so I think like the Lakers are definitely showing that they're one of these young cores that has the most promise in the league, and we're going to talk a little bit about free agency and how that might affect it and what Paul George's latest comments mean here in a second. Okay, so I want to throw an audio of this really quick, just so that everybody can listen to Paul George himself saying it, rather than me reading it. And so, like, Paul George went on, he spoke with Rachel Nichols today about free agency and about, like how this Thunder season has affected what he might do in free agency. So I'm going to go ahead and throw to that audio just really quickly.
And when you played in L.A., he hugged his mom. Mm-hmm. He's definitely coming to L.A. You had all of that stuff. So I will just come out and straight ask you the question, where is your thinking on the Lakers as free agency approaches?
I obviously would have loved to go home. That was ideal when it was that time. But now, being here and playing alongside Russ, playing alongside Melo, I've built a real brotherhood with those guys. If we're here right now, then where can we be next year? Where can we be the year after that? Of course, LA is home, so that's always going to draw the attention, but we'll see. I won't rule anything out, but I'm definitely happy where I'm at, and I like where we're going, and I want to see how this unfolds.
Okay, so Jared, what did you think? So you're a self-professed Celtics fan. You've come clean. This is Bad Fandom Anonymous.
Yep.
And you've admitted to that. And so you've been following the Paul George thing, I think, along with Lakers fans over the last couple of years. Because obviously the Celtics, I think, are at the point now where they aren't really going to get Paul George. But over the last couple summers, it looked like maybe there was a chance they'd try to trade for him or they'd be a threat for him in free agency. And these comments are more of, and Indiana fans know what I'm talking about too, and Lakers fans probably do too, where he just seems to, he is almost, we talked about Twitter being reactionary.
Yeah.
Paul George is very reactionary to whatever situation he is currently in, whether it's what he thinks is the right answer, whether or not that's his actual answer, or like if his team's playing well, then he's like, yeah, I really want to be here. I love this place. And then if his team's playing poorly, he's like, well, you know, like, Lakers young core is looking pretty promising, or, you know, I really love my hometown. And I think this is just maybe another situation where he's just kind of saying what he thinks is the right answer at the time. To me, I get that sense that that's kind of how he is.
I think it's just kind of what's going on currently. I don't know if it's even the right or wrong answer, the right answer that he's looking for. It's just kind of like, what's going on right now? Like, in the beginning of the season, he wasn't like, when they're 10 games in and they're losing, and then that one point in the season where they're under 500 with, like, I think 20-something games under their belt. He's not like, oh, yeah, I love these guys. These are my brothers. I'm staying here. Once they start winning, of course he's going to start saying that. So I think he's kind of just going off, like, where the season is right now. I think the big – obviously, we won't know this for a while, but the big tell for me on if he's going to stay or not is how they do in the first round of the playoffs. Because we think, like, of the Thunder, like, okay, they have Melo, they have Westbrook, and they have Paul George. But – if they go against Minnesota in the first round, Minnesota took the season series 3-1, which isn't like, that doesn't necessarily translate to the playoffs, but they've had enough experience against each other where, unless like Melo learns how to put the ball in the basket again, it's going to be a very difficult series. And if Minnesota gets the 4 seed, which they're currently slotted in right now, especially after the Thunder lost tonight, I think they're 5 games back of Minnesota right now, or 4. But
yeah, something like that.
It's like 4.5 or 5, but... Actually, did they update it? No, they haven't updated it yet. But if they lose to Minnesota in the first round, assuming things stay the way they are as far as playoff seeding, why would he stay there? Why would he stay in Oklahoma? One, it's Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
Two, he's not
Which,
even...
like, he very much seems to be a guy that's interested in the off-the-court
stuff. Well,
yeah,
because
like, that was the appeal to L.A., I think, all along.
Yeah, but because he lived in Indiana for 5 years, and it's kind of like, well, I'm not just going to sit here and mope about not living in L.A. I might as well adjust.
Yeah.
So he learned how to live in, like, kind of quote-unquote city or, like, country life. And now, like, everyone knows his love for fishing. He keeps that very public.
Yeah.
But,
no, he's a simple guy. But when he's in Indiana, he likes to say he's a simple guy. I like fishing. I don't care about
But then when he's...
But I'm also hell-bent on...
When he lives down the street from one of my really good friends and he has a $6 million house and people, like, all the time and all these, like, cars in front of it, like, now he's not a simple guy. But regardless, I think it's really... Like, right now, of course, he's going to be saying... he's not going to go to the media while they're winning and try to start bad blood in the locker room. Like, Indiana, it didn't matter. They weren't that good. So, like, what he was saying was kind of just like, we're not going to win anything anyway. But now, like, when they actually have expectations and there's, like, people think they're going to do big things, like, he kind of has to keep the team together and not keep the distraction, make himself a distraction.
Yeah, and, I think... A lot of this, it's not going to be decided today, I think, because of, like, how reactionary he can be. And I think, like, he just, like, that we have to see how the rest of the season plays out. And I think that losing Andre Robertson, I think for them, was a huge thing. I believe they're, like, 1-5 since he went down, or, like, two, like, something
I'll
like that.
I'll check that right now. But
yeah, their record isn't good since he went down. And I think that that, as much as anything, is really going to hurt them in the playoffs. And that could, depending on which way you look at it, that could be a good or a bad thing for OKC. On one hand, they could say, hey, imagine how good they could do the Doc Rivers thing and say, hey, our starting five is undefeated in the playoffs.
Don't look at my coaching. It's not my fault, I promise.
Yeah, they literally did not play a game together in the playoffs, so they're undefeated. Like, imagine how good we'd be if Andre was still there.
Yeah.
And then on the other hand, it's like, okay, well, they underperformed what they were expected to do if they're first round out. Does he look for greener pastures? And we'll continue this conversation again here in a second. So, but what do you think that he does? Like, gut, like, if they lose in the first round, like, gut feeling, do you think he stays in Oklahoma City?
No. Even if they win in the first round, like, why... Unless they go to the
That's
conference.
My thing. They're so hard capped out with this team, and this is very clearly not a championship contender.
Well, people think they are. They just need to be.
They have big names, but they just. Yeah. This is not a team that's going to win a title. That's it's not a team that's equipped for that. And so at that point, why are you staying in Oklahoma City? I guess it's fun to win, like, you know, 50 games every year and go to the playoffs and, like, play with Russell Westbrook. I get, although I don't know how fun Russell Westbrook actually is to play with. But,
yeah.
You know, for a guy like Paul George. You know, maybe you take a shot and see if the Lakers can get something, can put something together that has a little bit higher upside and is maybe a little bit more sustainable.
Yeah, the thing with that is people, the same people, I'm not saying all people who claim the Lakers to be like a top young core in the league, but there are some who say that the Lakers are one of the best young units, and they still think that, like, staying in Oklahoma City is the better route when it doesn't make sense. Why would you stay on a team where you know what your ceiling is when you can go experiment with a bunch of young players, be their leader, and you'll probably be, unless whatever happens with LeBron, and I don't think Boogie Cousins is leaving now because I don't think the Lakers want to sign him, but whatever happens with that, he's probably going to be either the number one option or the 1B, unlike in Oklahoma City where you're obviously deferring to Westbrook regardless
and,
of...
And really mellow, honestly.
Yeah, regardless, like, of if Westbrook's shooting 30 of 30 or 0 for 30. Like,
yeah.
He's going to be the one with the ball in his hands taking the last shots. So I think that for all the reasons that he said before this season as far as where he wants to live and, like, his family and all of those things, along with the fact that, like, you have to bet on yourself... in a way, or bet on another situation when you know what the outcome is where you currently are.
And I also think, I do want to, like, just to play devil's advocate for a second, I do think it's a scary thing for, like, a player to jump to a young core and gamble on that when you have the security blanket of, you know, you're going to get 50 wins with Westbrook every year.
Yeah.
But the other thing to consider, and I don't know if Paul George will consider this, but Westbrook is a player whose game is almost entirely predicated on his level of athleticism. And at some point, he's going to go, and he's not going to be the same player anymore. And is he willing to admit that, or is he like Kobe, and he's going to continue to jack 30 shots a game no matter what, regardless of whether or not he's qualified to anymore?
No, but come on, Westbrook's better than Kobe. We know this.
Get out.
No, it's not me. Like, people really think that Westbrook is still, like, a top three player in the league.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
No, I don't. The MVP thing, like, it's funny. Like, if he would average 25, 4.9, 25, 8, and 8.
He wouldn't have gotten any MVP. Even if he was 32, 11, and 9, he wouldn't have got it.
Yeah, it was literally like people just like round numbers. Yeah, and they're like saying triple double.
It's like, shoot, he did that when Harden had, like, the same thing, just with, like, I think a rebound less.
Yeah, and he was more efficient, and
their
he was part
was
of
better.
A better team.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, I would have given it to Harden last year. I actually think that he'll probably win it this year if he can, like, stay healthy enough. But we'll see. And so just because he's been snubbed so many times, too, I think the voters account for that.
Yeah, he's the last two. Well, aside from the unanimous Curry year when I don't think anyone – obviously, it was told by the voters. Like, no one had any other opinions. But even that first year when the Warriors – the first year of Steve Curry, they won 67 and Curry won the MVP. A lot of my friends and even me for a while, I was thinking, like, I don't know why Harden didn't win it because it was his first year –
Well, it was because it was Curry's season was magical, not just from a numbers perspective, but from the way they played,
the narrative, the narrative.
It's like all of that stuff.
That's what drives it.
The narrative so much contributes to this voting, especially among journalists, because like it's the media that votes for it.
Because you need a story. You need the
story. It's why Derrick Rose has an MVP, when Derrick Rose should never have won an MVP. He just Chicago was a good story that year, but LeBron should have been the MVP that year. Like LeBron or maybe Dwight, but like it was not Derrick Rose, but Derrick Rose was on the team with the number one defense, and he was the high scorer on that team.
Yeah.
And you know, he had
flashy plays. Yeah,
exactly. And so people were like, Derrick Rose. And so
shout out Derrick Rose for getting married during the season, man.
Derrick Rose is out here living his best life.
Yeah, like Dennis Rodman got married to himself. Derrick Rose took a month out of the season to go on a honeymoon. Like,
yeah, why not?
Props.
Yeah. Anyway. Get it. So, awkward segues aside, the trade deadline is coming up. Real quick to conclude the Paul George thing, I think this is a situation, another situation where he's just saying whatever he thinks is the right answer at the time. And we're going to continue to talk about whatever he says about the Lakers.
He just doesn't want to anymore.
That stuff. Yeah, well, we're gonna talk about it. Whenever he says something, we're gonna talk about it. But in my opinion, I just don't think anything he says matters because he's so clearly shown that he's not necessarily going to give like his honest answer, or he's just gonna be reactionary in the media. So whichever one of those two things it is, I just don't buy it. And so we'll continue to talk about it, but because that's just what we do.
Yep.
But I don't think that it really totally matters, these comments or any other comments.
No, I think as we've seen with like. The thing is, we pick cases and, like, we decide what we want from that player. Like, with LeBron, there's always so much speculation with LeBron and his decision because he doesn't talk about the future ever. He's like, I'm just focused on right now, you know, being the best player I can to, like, these, whatever. But Paul George is actually giving some insight to it, so he's creating conversation. And I think that fans, slight LeBron for not telling us anything, but then also slight Paul George for telling us things.
Yeah.
So they need to be consistent.
People just want to complain. Everybody wants to complain.
But I think Paul George is doing the right thing because he's honestly creating less chatter about it.
Yeah. He should downplay it. Like, why would you, even if you wanted to go to LA, why would you like upplay that and start more drama in the media, start awkwardness with your teammates? Like, there's just no benefit to
it. Yeah. I think he's doing the right thing, and who knows, maybe he will stay, but it's not anything we can tell from right now.
Yeah, and so I think that wraps up the Paul George thing. Real quick before we sign off, I do want to talk trade deadline and stuff a little bit, although I would imagine Anthony and I will have more on that tomorrow. I think just like you as like a general NBA person, do you think the Lakers make a move? Because for me, I said this on the Lakers Nation podcast that I also went on today. I said my gut feeling, I don't think that they do. I think they stand pat and they ride the season out and try and get as much momentum going into free agency as possible. But, like, do you think they make a move?
I don't think so right now just because of the current situation of their team. Like, they're, what, 8 of their last 10 and 12? Or like
something like
11
that.
11 of their last 15, something like that. They're playing well, so it's like, why just let it ride out? The season doesn't really matter that much anyway, so just let the guys play, get... Yeah, I mean, I tweeted that I think they trade for Bazemore. Bazemore was a Laker before, right? Am I
mistaken? Yes, he was. He was a Laker for half a season.
2013,
the Lakers traded Steve Blake to the Warriors Kent Bazemore and the immortal Marshawn Brooks.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, Marshawn Brooks was
former
a Laker
Celtic.
For a little bit. Yeah, Marshawn Brooks was a Laker for a little bit.
Yeah, I forgot.
He did not
that.
Do much. Kent Bazemore did a little bit more, and I guess fittingly. And he was like kind of a fan favorite very quickly out here. And
oh, definitely.
But like he ended up moving on, I believe. Who did he sign?
He's in Atlanta.
Did he sign with Atlanta initially? I think he did sign with Atlanta immediately in free agency. He didn't go somewhere else first.
I think that was the year when like the 60 win Hawks team, and then what's his name left? The guy, Damari Carroll left.
Yeah.
And then I think Bazemore went there afterwards.
Something like that. Man, I don't remember. All these free agencies blend together now.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you think they trade for Kent Bazemore?
I mean, just that was kind of just my one thing, if like anyone, because I like, what do the Hawks
trade who for him?
Don't worry about all.
Don't worry about the specifics. Yeah, they're going to trade for Kent Bazemore. Okay.
Honestly, the best thing about free agency, or not free agency, the trade deadline, is just going on Twitter and looking at all of the ESPN trade machines, like the weird trades where it's like Giannis and Chris Middleton for Gorgui Dieng and Jeff Teague, and people are like, it works.
Yeah, it works. Hey, the CBA, it works under the CBA.
I saw one tweet. It's like, I mean, if the trade goes through, it's an obvious conversation. Like, people are just like, just because it works, that people have to talk about it.
Yeah, I think, you know, you are very clearly subtweeting or podcasting Anthony right now.
Is that what he does?
He is a trade machine. He's a junkie. Trade machine. Actually, we like to call him just as like a shot at, you know, your Lord and Savior, Bill Simmons. Anthony is the real trade machine Picasso.
Yeah, Simmons is, he's an interesting, but this is an obvious, the Cavs have to be thinking about this. Trade LeBron James, get Gorgui Dieng, Taj Gibson, Cole Aldridge.
Yeah, I mean,
why not?
You're gonna lose him in free agency. Yeah. Might as well get something back for him first.
Get three centers. Take them all.
Hey, and two of them are old. They have a hole at center. They can start to fix that for the future with like a young player just like Gorgui Dieng.
Play four of them and Isaiah Thomas and have them just get rebounds.
Yeah, hey, it worked for the Celtics. All right, so that'll wrap it up for this episode of Locked On Lakers. Jared, thank you very much for coming on.
Anytime.
Where should people follow you at your professional account that we're trying to boost up?
My professional Twitter is at @byjaredeprem. It's BYJAREDEPREM. And I don't really have a lot of content on it right now. I've been live tweeting basketball games for Cal State Fullerton, as well as just tweeting about other sports takes, like the Super Bowl is today. So if I have anything coherent, it'll probably go there. And then all of my fandom things will probably be in text messages so that I can still get a job
in the future. Yeah, Jared, also Patriots fan. So, yes. You know, if they, like, real quick, because like, we're recording this before the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Are they winning tonight?
What do you think I'm going to say? Honestly,
I don't know. Maybe you're a parent. Maybe you're superstitious.
No. People, I think that super fit, like, Simmons is always very, he's super big on, like, jinxing things and, like, being overly confident. My thing is, like, the Patriots go down 28-3 in the Super Bowl, and then they come back and win. Like, I just stopped worrying. Even if we lose, like, it's...
All right, so, like, trash talk the Eagles real quick. Just to really tempt fate. Like,
I have nothing bad to say.
Why are the Patriots going to kick their ass?
I have nothing bad to say about the Eagles. I like their team. Chris Long donated his entire year's salary to education. Malcolm Jenkins did some other things as far as, like, the Kaepernick protest goes and, like, getting people in the area to actually know... to stand up for something and know what they're fighting for.
That's all very nice things, but why are the Patriots going to win?
Because they're better, and Nick Foles is the quarterback of the Eagles, and people think because he can play one good game in the playoffs that he's all of a sudden this transition, like this, he transformed as a quarterback, and his 3 years prior of quarterbacking just disappeared.
All right, I really hope they lose tonight just so that we can play this audio.
That's
and it's
going
to be even funnier in retrospect. All right, that will actually do it for Locked On Lakers. I am Harrison Fagan. Anthony will likely be back tomorrow. We'll see, I guess, if he decides to take another spa day, and we will talk to you guys then. I'm sure that we'll have lots of trade deadline stuff to go over.